So good. Jeez, come on. Brad's got to do literally everything this morning. He's a heavy hitter in this church. Excellent. How is everyone? Is everyone doing good?
Yep.
So good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I feel like this morning I have something on my heart from God for you guys, which is pretty exciting. Yeah, there's going to be a few stories, a few Bible verses, a few revelations. So, yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Father God. Thank you for what you're doing here, Father God. We thank you that you're moving here already this morning, Lord Jesus. And we just pray, Father God, I just pray right now that spirit of wisdom and revelation flows freely here today, Father God, and that everyone's heart here is softened and everyone gets new revelation, Father God, and encounters with your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's liking the series so far? Like different people's perspective on the same topic. I think it's really cool. Yeah, it's cool to see everyone's different perspective on a verse and what God shows them. We bought our son a new Bible and talking about different perspective on Bible verses. Anyone who's had like kids and, you know, the cracking questions they come out with about the Bible that you have to answer that no one's ever asked you in your entire life before. Last night, Louis was saying, the Holy Spirit is in us, but how did he come into us? I'm like, it's like he just comes into you. He's like, yeah, but where does he come in through? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, that's a pretty, you got to realize no one's ever asked me that before. So I'm trying to come up with something right now. But you're trying to sound confident, like you fully know exactly, because you don't want him to think that you don't know how to answer it. But we bought him a new Bible and just talking about perspectives on verses. And I was reading him the story of David and Goliath, as you do. And you know, it's so valiant that David, this small dude, is beating this giant. And I'm reading him this story. And then Louis's going, he goes, wow, Dad. So, you know, we finished the story and, you know, David hits him in the head with the rock and he falls on the ground. And Louis goes, so, Dad, Goliath, he was standing there and he got hit in his head and he just falls to the ground. And there was no one around him. And I'm like, there was no one around him, I guess. He goes, so brave. And I'm like, yeah, like, well, I don't know. Like, but Louis, David, this small dude, he's hitting Goliath. He's beating the giant. And he goes, did Goliath have any family around him? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't think his family were around him. So brave. I'm like, yeah, but David is this small dude and he beats Goliath. He goes, no, I like David. But Goliath, wow, it's like Goliath. I mean, he's just something else. Like, and it's like he's got this empathy for Goliath that I've never looked from that lens before. I'm like, and he goes, after he got hit and he fell down, did any of his family and friends come around him to help him? I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't think they did. Incredible. So brave. You know, and I'm realizing in hindsight, because if anyone saw my son, he fell and he hit his head and he cut it open. I'm realizing he's got this empathy because he's got hit in the head like Goliath has, and he's got this big mark on his head, so he's got this empathy for him. But it's like, it's amazing how I'm like, all of a sudden I'm thinking like, man, God loves Goliath more than he's ever loved anyone in his whole life. Like Goliath is like, wow. God loves Goliath, like he did, and it's like you just never looked for that perspective. So all that to say, it's great to hear people's different perspective on verses. And that being said, I want to read a Bible verse that Pastor Kim read last week, but it's so powerful. And I would almost assume, but I shouldn't assume, that maybe like everyone who's doing this might even read this. But it's 1 Corinthians 12:12, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts. Someone say different. Not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange, someone say strange, a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest, right? Just dial in on this bit. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The most necessary. Is that crazy? They seem the weakest, but they're the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Now, I find it so interesting that it talks about the parts that seem the weakest are the most necessary. And I feel like what's really on my heart today is that there's people here today that they can't find their place in the body in a way because they've spent so long looking at other people and what seems most honorable. Like you've seen, you know, Cara leading worship, and you've seen Jason giving an amazing prophetic word. You see Brad preach, Pastor Kim preach, and all these things seem so like fantastic, and even like things that are so glorified, even like, you know, worldwide or online, like these preachers that preach these great words, and it's like, well, maybe I should be a singer, or you're feeling like you don't have as much to offer because you're not walking in that, like you're not bringing that breaker word, you're not you know, up leading worship, and we see these things that seem so important and so like glorified and honored that we can struggle to find where our place is in the body of Christ. Because it's not as clapped. And it's like, Steph and I, we spoke about this. She's happy for me to share this. But Steph went through, my wife went through a part, a period of time a while ago where she felt like she struggled. She didn't have anything to offer because it didn't look like she had that breaker word on a Sunday, or she didn't have that prophetic song to change the atmosphere. But she wanted to do something that changed the atmosphere. She wanted to bring her portion. But we constantly look at what seems to be so magnificent that we're missing what God's called us to do. And what you've got to bring is powerful. We don't need these other things. Let those things be the things. Like the worship, you've got something so valuable to bring. Don't miss it by trying to look at what other people are doing and thinking, well, I want to do that because they do that. Oh, I want to do that because they do that. And it's amazing to get encouraged, and it's amazing to honor those gifts and those callings. But it's like, if you just humbled yourself and dialed in on what God has for you, you would release something so powerful. So Steph was, she was there and she was feeling this thing like, I don't know what I have to offer because I can't do this. But all the while, she's thinking of these incredible like arts and crafts things to do for kids' church. And she's thinking of different gifts to get people. And I'm telling you, she is anointed to get gifts for people that is just like, to me, seem incredibly random, but it's exactly what they need. And it's this gifting she's got, but it's not been modeled that much, you know, on social media or like what we see on the stage. So it was hard for her to realize that it was so powerful. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like, she's fascinating how, like, there was a buddy of mine and I'm like, I've got to get him something for his birthday. And she goes, I reckon you get him a tent. I'm like, why would I get him a tent? He's never shared that he wants to go camping or anything like that ever. Anyways, I didn't buy him a tent. Like, I've learnt now that everything she says is right. But I was like, I got him something else. He's like, oh, cheers, bro. I was just like, just a question. If I got you a tent, what would you think? He's like, bro, I've so wanted a tent. Like, I really, really have been thinking how I want a tent. I'm like, fascinating. Like, so it's like she's got this gift and she's got this ability to make people feel known through different ways. And as she's like, as she's come to realize and dialed in on her lane, she fully changes and makes people feel so known from this unique gift that it seems like she's got. Because she stopped trying to think that she needs to be like what seems more glorified, right? But what seems the weakest is the most necessary. It's so cool. But there's a place we need to get to in tapping out, in realizing that we don't need to try and, like Pastor Kim says, you look for the spectacular, you miss the supernatural. And I really feel like God wants to unlock today what he's called to you. Like that. But today's a day of humbling yourself because he pours grace and favor out on the humble but opposes the proud. So it's like, it's almost like he's not even opposing you, but that decision to want to do something that seems spectacular, he just doesn't go, all right, fine, because you really, really want to do it, I'll let you do it. He's like, it's just not your calling. James sent me a really funny reel last night about this guy, and it's a joke, but like he's got in like an iPad case this tile. He puts a tile in, and he's playing a joke on this like company that fixes iPad screens and stuff, and it's pretty like cruel, to be honest. But I was literally laughing so hard because he's opened up the box and he goes, can you fix my iPad? And the guy's going, sir, this isn't an iPad, it's a tile. And he goes, no, but that's the back. He's like, this is the front. And he's like, see if it's not like working properly. He's like, yeah, because it's a tile. It's not an iPad. And he goes, sorry, can you fix iPads or not? Anyways, he's playing a joke on him. And this guy's just like, he can't, like, he's like, sir, I don't know how to tell you this. It's a tile. It's not an iPad. And he goes back and forth and this guy just can't wrap his head around it. It's really funny, but it's also a little bit cruel because he's playing a joke on him. But it's like that in the body. It's like you're trying so hard to get something to work for you, but it's just not who you are. Be who you are. It's powerful who you are. Someone say, I am powerful. But it's like, but how do we get to this place of humility? How do we get to this place of fully... It's like I've seen it so many times with people when they just tap out and they let their guard down and just go, fine, God, what do you want to do with me? And it can seem like something that is not significant. And that happened in my own life when Pastor Kim, I've shared this a lot of times, but when she gave me a word when I was 21, and thinking about it, you're 21, you're a Christian, you love God, you love reaching out, but a little bit ego, maybe a little bit of like, I want to do something amazing. Do you know what I mean? And it's like she shared with me that she had a vision of me cutting hair and having a barbershop. And imagine all you've wanted to do is your whole life is play in a band in front of like millions of people and like do this amazing, incredible atmosphere shifting thing. And then someone, and you have no paradigm. And like barbers are a little bit of a, it's a trend now. Like there's a lot of ways you could even look at, like a 21-year-old could look at doing a barber and it would seem impressive now. When she said for me to do it, the only person who was doing it was an 80-year-old Italian man down the road. Couldn't speak a lick of ink. I could, but that's exaggeration. But it's like there's no model. There's nothing for me to model after. I'm like, but I can't see it. And then God's like, just trust me. There's things that God's called you to and you just, you haven't seen it modeled. I know that's here because that's what God's given me today. That there's people here, they haven't seen what they feel called to modeled, so they don't know the steps to take to get there. But God is saying, just follow me each step. Everyone's different. Everyone's path is different. But the people that choose to humble themselves and they follow it, they do something great. And it's those people that have followed those steps and they've humbled themselves to get to this place of honor that you're like, wow, that's incredible. I want to do that. Like if you ask Kara, like if every single time she ever picked the guitar up and played or tried to write a song that she was smashing it every single time, she would probably tell you that she hasn't. But when she's up here leading, you're like, far out, that's awesome. You know, she's so gifted, she's so talented, but it wouldn't have always felt like a full-on grace, beautiful, you know, everything was perfect all the time thing. It's a journey. And but there's a humbling of yourself to get to that point. And it's truly following the Holy Spirit. I want to read this verse. You know, a big part of it is sonship. And I love like Kim's message last week. Please go and listen to Pastor Kim's message last week. It was huge. And it was like, and it was all at the core of it was like sonship. And what is sonship? Like we talk so much about sonship, but what even is sonship? What does it take to become a son? What does it take to become a son of God? What does it take to become a son of the house? What even is that, right? What does it take for you to become a son or a daughter of the house, of the church, or of God? It's when you are born again and when you start sowing into a church and you get planted in a church. That is it. So it's not a fact of how do I become a son? It's how do you change your mind from thinking like an orphan to thinking like a son? Because you are a son. And you are a daughter. But there's so many people that think like orphans, like they actually need to be seen or they need to do something impressive or they need to do this to try and fit in or be really a part of it or, you know, do something powerful. You are a son. You are a daughter. There's nothing else you need to do than know that you're loved by God. And just humble yourself. When you change, like God had to change my own mind. There was a period of time where I really felt like I wanted to preach. Like I wanted to preach. And this would have been like probably like over 10 years ago. And I was going through and I was having this mentality was like, and like obviously I'm up here preaching today, so it's something like God has brought me into. But I was going through this period of time where it was completely from the wrong place. I was going, I think I should be preaching. And then I'm like, why am I not getting asked to preach? Like, oh, I should be preaching. I can preach. I'm anointed. I'm talented. I'm gifted. I can talk, right? Oh, boo-hoo. Like, and then God is so cool. Like, having a desire to preach and all that stuff is good. But if it's not coming completely from a mentality and a heart of I want to serve, All I want to do is do what needs to be done in the house. And God took me through this journey of laying everything down. And then I got to this point where I honestly did not care if I ever preached, ever. Like I honestly didn't care. And I got to this point and what God showed me in the middle of this, it was like this kind of, it was like a twisted mentality that I had where the devil was kind of coming at me and it was just this weirdness. God showed me, I was in worship and I was having this thought of, I think I should be preaching. I think I should be up the front preaching, right? And then God showed me in worship, he showed me this picture of Jesus carrying the cross and he's got blood all over him. And then I'm thinking like, and it's like I had this thought and I'm just there with Jesus, like he's carrying the cross, he's blood, and he's done everything that he could possibly do for mankind. And I want to stand there with a microphone talking. It's like, what the heck? What? And then it was in that moment, God just shifted something and it was like this thought came into my head. Did you still want to preach? And I was just like, man, and he just convicted me so much. It wasn't even like this conviction where I felt rotten. It was this conviction where I was like, that is such a weird thought to think you want to preach in front of people. I like in the mentality that I had. And he just shifted it. And I was just like, I just want to serve. I don't want any of that. Right? And after that change, never had a conversation with Pastor Kim about it. She goes, can you preach on Sunday? Right? There's a laying down of our dreams and desires. People say, follow your dreams. I say, don't do that. Follow God. Because unless the dream's from God, then he's not just going to go, fine, you can just do it. That's completely contrary to whose God nature is. He doesn't just give in. He's not like a parent where it's like your kid's like throwing a tantrum, like, fine, just give him 3 lollipops. Like he's not like that. He's like, you can be bashing about, you can be tantruming all you want. I know what's best for you and I'm not doing that right now. And it's so powerful. So God's, when we learn to just lay it down, tap out, trust God, then it's so much better. It's actually a full-on place of rest. You can rest. Where it's like we go through this struggle of wanting to be this thing that we see or that we think's great. It's like this struggle. It was like when I had this struggle of thinking that being a barber wasn't cool and she gave me this word and I'm like, oh, thank you, Pastor Kim, but that is not for me. I am way more gifted than that and I'm not just going to be cutting people's hair because I'm actually called to change the world, so that's just not for me. And I appreciate it. I honor you. You're amazing. And if God wants to do that down the track, then he can, but that is, it didn't witness with me at the time. And that was legit. It didn't witness with me. Part of it was like, I was trying to see it work, but I hadn't seen it modeled, right? So it's like, bro, you're right here, man. Dude, I feel like God's got so much for you, bro. There's so much for you, bro. God has got more. All morning, like God's been saying to me, he's got so much for you. He's just got so much for you. And he's going to take you through this journey and you're going to lay some stuff down and you're going to change the world, bro. Bless you, bro. I bless you, man. God's today, my bro, like God's just highlighting you to me. Like he's got so much for you, man. I'm so excited for your journey, man. It's cool, bro. Bless you. So I want to go to Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Have you ever wondered what's God's will for your life? Like, I love God. I believe in God. I'm saved. I go to church. But what is God's will for me? What is it? Has anyone ever thought that? Put your hand up if you've thought that before. This is it. This is how you come to know it. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. The old person's dreams and desires, they're dead. They might still be lingering that you want to be a professional F1 driver. I don't know. But it's like maybe that is your calling. And I'm not saying like God calls you to things that are absolutely crazy as well. Like and I believe what I do is crazy. Like because I'm actually ministering to like thousands of people a year, like one-on-one. So it's actually so powerful. And but to get to know the will of God for your life, you need to change the way you think. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at things and people and even on social media where it's like, that seems amazing, I want to do that. That seems amazing. What seems amazing? Look at Jesus. And then you will find what you're truly called to. If you're looking at someone going, that's what I want and I need to do that and it's from this fleshly place, that's just not God. You can be encouraged by people and you can be completely like honor what they're doing and but there's a place where there's the flesh and then there's a place where there's the spirit. And you need to be in the spirit to really know the will of God for your life. You need to have your mind changed. It says change into a new person. So there's a process of laying down those old things and saying, God, what is it for me that you have? And it's like every day I get opportunities to reveal truth to people in the barbershop. Like a lot of people know that I work in a barbershop. If you don't, I have a barbershop in Gosford and I'm constantly getting these opportunities to show people the love of God. Last week I had a guy, he come in and I'm cutting his hair and then God said, ask him how his mum is. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, and it's like a bit of a weird question. bit Rove Livey, like say hi to your mum for me. Like, and I was just like, so bro, how's your mum going? And he goes, that's a very loaded question. And I'm like, well, is it? I don't know. Well, in a way, but. And he goes, no, she's not doing the best. And he starts to open up about how his mum's going and it's a real complex for him because she's not that well, but she's not taking the advice that the family's giving her, which is really good for her. But you can't force someone. And so I'm talking to him about that. I'm like, okay, cool, that was definitely from God. And then we're talking. And then God goes, ask him how his relationship with me is going. And I'm like, I don't even think he's a Christian. I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to rack my brain because I've cut his hair before, but I'm trying to rack my brain if he's ever told me that he's gone to church or he's a Christian or anything. And I'm like, so how's your walk with God going? And he's like, man, it could be better. And then he's like, I went to church with my dad, like a Catholic church, and I just, yeah. I just feel like, and he starts asking me these questions because it's completely religion. Like he's just all in it. He goes, but I haven't gone to church enough times. I haven't even read the Bible, bro. And I'm like, oh, no, of course I'm not. And I just got to flip it about relationship. And I spoke to him about, God just wants to know you. And he's like, yeah, but what if I've done this and this and this? And I'm like, man, forget about religion. He wants to know you. He knew what he was getting into when he made you. He knew you weren't going to hit the mark every time and I'm just revealing truth to him. And it's like, because I'm in my lane in this barbershop, I humbled myself. I said, I want to do your will, God, that I'm there and I have this opportunity with this guy, right? Finished the haircut, he gets up. He said, I want to pay for the next person. He's so inspired. He said, I want to pay for the next person's haircut. Next person gets in the chair. I go, how you going, mate? He goes, I got a sore back. I said, can I pray for it? He goes, I would love you to pray for it. Never cut this guy's hair before. I was like, can I pray for you? And he goes, yeah. And I go, how's your back feeling? He goes, hard to tell right now because I can tell when I'm doing X, Y, Z. And I said, bro, you know, God loves you. And he goes, right, I forgot about this part actually. He goes, you go to church? I was like, yeah. And he goes, what church do you go to? I go, Liberty. He goes, I've heard about you people. He had this look like, I've heard about you guys. You do this kind of thing. And I go, by the way, the last guy paid for your haircut. And he's like, what? And he goes, no. And I'm like, yeah, he did. And he's like, this is crazy. He gets up out of the chair, finishes his haircut, and he goes, bro, do you think I could have a hug? He goes, I so needed this today. Boom, walking in your lane. It's just this flow. It's just this flow. And then after that, like this week, oh no, it was the end of last week. I was cutting this guy's hair. And then, and this is just obedience. This is humility. This is laying down your desires. This is all what we're talking about, just laying that down. Following the voice of the Lord into your lane, not looking at what other people think that you should do, but have people around you that encourage you into it. Like, have people that are like discipling you and can encourage you, like, in the way that you should, because people can see it around you. They're like, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think if you have people that are truly wise and solid in God, don't go to people who are going to tell you that you should be on American Idol and, like, do you know what I mean? Unless that's really your calling, like, I'm not saying it isn't, but do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, sometimes we go to people who know we're going to say, yeah, bro, you should definitely do that. You should, and you know that you shouldn't really, but you go to that person that's going to affirm it. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then I'm cutting this other guy's hair, and then he starts talking about how self-belief is powerful. He goes, I think self-belief's good. And I was like, yeah, bro, I'm huge on self-belief. And it's super easy for me because, like, I have a relationship with God and he just constantly speaks truth to me. So I find that really easy. And this guy, right, I've cut his hair many times. He is so joyful. He is so happy. He is so nice. He is so polite. He's everything you say, he's yes and amen. I start bringing up God. I start saying Jesus. His face just goes blank. And then I'm like, and I could see something's going on there. And I'm just getting straight away, he's been hurt by the church. He's been hurt by the church. And then, but I just kept wanting to kind of prod it a little bit. And then he goes, oh, I'm not religious, but yeah, like I said, I think self-belief is really cool. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. I was like, man, and I talk a little bit more about God. And then he says, my logic struggles to believe that there is a God because I believe that we're outside of time and I don't, I just think something's greater than, you know, we just can't wrap our minds around it. And I'm just like, I've just got to go there with him. I'm like, yeah, but like, and like, I'm just like, I've just got to go there with him. And it's kind of like my nature when someone's like says something against it, but I really believe in it. I've just got to just go there. And I know that there's breakthrough for him. So I'm speaking to him and I go, yeah, but it's actually crazy for you to think that it's more logical that nothing made everything. Like, I was like, that's actually more faith than even believing in God. That's like crazy amount of faith. And I use an analogy Brad said where he's like, believing that the Big Bang's real and that nothing made everything is like smashing a watch and getting all the pieces and throwing it back together and it all going perfectly to creating the watch again. And I use that to him. Anyways, and I say this, and then he's starting to get tense. And then the vibe is very quickly vanishing. And it's becoming, he's like, well, I don't think that. I think that there's logic and there's reasoning and I believe that this. And then this guy who I've never seen him anything other than completely joyful and happy is tense. And he's not happy now. And then so I'm like, you know, I'm thinking I want to still keep a good vibe in the shop and stuff like that. So I like transition out of that conversation. I'm like, oh, leave it like 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, so did you say you were going away or whatever? I start a little bit of small talk. And then we start talking about, he goes, yeah. And then he's responding, but he's still not responding how he usually does. He's not happy. And he's answering my question. And then God goes, bring it up again. And I'm like, God, I don't think you realize I just transitioned so well out of it. And then God goes, bring it up with him again. And I'm like, I don't want to bring it up with him again. And then I'm like, so deep chats, eh? I've had a few deep chats this morning and you know how we were speaking before. And he goes, and then he comes straight out with, I had a really traumatic thing happened to me by the church when I was a little boy. And it was like, if I didn't just humble myself and bring it back up with him, like he wouldn't have been able to get that out. And then I just start speaking to him truth about who God is. You've been hurt. And I just said, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. You know, it's not God's nature. It's not who he is. God is love. And I was just able to bring all this truth because I just like, if we can just get past our own pride and ego and what we think things should look like, and we just humble ourselves and follow God and remain in our lane and just stay humble. And it can be hard because people want to look good. They want to have a nice car. You want to have a nice house. You want to look like things appear well for your life. And sometimes God calls you to do things where it is a bit embarrassing. Like I was a jingle for years. Like, was just like, if anyone doesn't know, it's like you dress up like a wiggle. And it's like, and I was like 22 when I did that. And you're like, you really are trying to, I was single. Do you think I was winning over any girls with dressing up like a wiggle? Aaron Ryan knows what I'm talking about. Wait, we're both married, bro. You know. That was my nickname. We heard all the different jingle names. It was like Gingle, Tingle, and my one was Single. But, and it's like, you know, God's taken me on a journey of even in that becoming a jingle. Like when Pastor Kim asked me to do it, I'm going, no way. Why do you always ask me to do things that I don't want to do? She's awesome. I love Kim. She's honestly changed my life. I don't even know where I'd be without her. She's, yeah, the best. Kim, Tim, Brad and Heather, just the best people you could ever ask for, and they've really helped shape me for who I am. But she asked me to do that, and I just was like, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. And then about 5 minutes later, I just see Jesus as a jingle. And I'm like, fine, all right, I'll do it. You know, as we lay things down, we can truly be who we've called to be as a part of the body. And when your mentality changes from being seen to serving, God can use you. When you're still holding on to that pride about this appearance of what you think you should do because it looks amazing, there's limited things God can do. But when you just tap out and you just go, have it all, God. I want to end on this testimony. And this is, we're all called to different areas. Some people are called to be missionaries. Some people are called to be barbers. Some people are called to be builders. Some people are called to be prophets. And I'm a part of this thing which Pastor Kim asked me to join, which is this Central Coast Evangelist group. And Louise comes too, which is really cool. And but it's a pretty mixed bag, isn't it, Louise? As you can imagine, a room full of evangelists. It's pretty wild. And there's this one guy, and he's just sown his lane. And it wouldn't seem like it was what we're all called to do. But God called him. He's a part of the Salvation Army, but he goes to prisons and he like talks to people in prison. He might be like a prison chaplain. And he's in the prison one day, and this guy starts screaming, and he starts being, and it's like he's manifesting in his cell. And then there's one security guard there, and Marty's like, I think it was that night, and he was like, do you think we should go and like see if this guy's okay? And he's like, there wasn't enough security on that wing to like go into his cell, and because it was dangerous, it was deemed as dangerous. And then this guy starts screaming, he starts hitting his head against the wall, and Marty's like, man, I think that's like, we should go in there. This is seeming pretty dangerous. This guy's like really hurting himself, and he's hitting his head against the wall, screaming. And then he goes around the corner so they couldn't see him anymore. And he's still screaming, and he's hitting his face on the wall. They could hear it. And then Marty's like, man, I really think this is seeming pretty serious. And then he just goes up and he like kneels down. And he can't see the guy anymore, and he starts just praying in tongues. He's like, He starts praying in tongues and he's like, God, I do not know what to do right now. And he's just praying in tongues and you can hear this guy yelling and this guy's swearing, he's crying, he's like hitting his head against his wall. And he's just like, God, I need help. But right, this guy's in his lane. And then he goes, out of my mouth, I just started to sing, Jesus, lover of my soul. He's praying in tongues, then he just goes, Jesus, lover of my soul. And then he just hears the man, he stops bashing his head. And then in the back of the cell he hears, Jesus, I will never let you go. And then he looks up to another cell and then a guy goes, you've taken me from the miry clay. Then about four other cells go, you set my feet upon the rock. It's always a struggle to get that story out because I think it's so powerful. You know, and then the guy comes to the front of the cell and he goes, you're having a hard time? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah. And because he's in his lane, he's humbled himself and he said, I will follow you, God. I will be in these places that don't seem too flashy and fancy. God just uses him there. It's so powerful. So I want to encourage you today to keep your eyes on Jesus. Ask God, say, God, is there anything in me? If you don't know if there's something that's blocking you, say, show me because I don't know. And I've said that to God so many times. Could you just show me because I don't know if there's something. And when you truly humble yourself, he will truly use you in an amazing way. Abide in me and I will abide in you and you will bear much fruit. But it's as we abide in him and as we humble ourselves. So I just want to pray for you guys because I really do feel that there's people here this morning that you haven't been able to completely walk in your calling in the fullness because it hasn't been modeled before you and you haven't had a grid for it. So if that's you, can we all just stand up? Can I just get everyone to stand up? I just want to pray for you because I feel like there's more for you. Even if you feel like you're confident in who you are and you're confident in where you are, I still know there's more for you. So just with every head bowed and every eye closed, just set your eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you for this amazing body that we have here, Father God, that we completely stay connected to you all the time, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you have vision for our life, that you have purpose for our life, Lord. And if there's somewhere that or something in our life we need to lay down, Lord Jesus, that right now, that you reveal it right now to us, Father God, to my brothers and sisters here today, you will reveal it to us. Because we are here for you, God. We want to follow you. And we want you to change us into a new person. Help us, God, in every step. Help us with our faith, Father God. Help us with our rest walk, that we can truly rest in you, Father God. And that you'll give us the enabling power, that you'll give us the grace to walk out the calling that you have for our life. In Jesus' name.